Now, despite the population problem, we express self-interest in even greater longevity and the prospect of increasing lifespan. It always provides a good news story, as we saw yesterday in the exciting report in Nature about the use of rapamycin. And our next speaker is Cynthia Kenyon, who's taught at the University of California, San Francisco since 1986. She's the Herbert Boyer Distinguished Professor of Biochemistry and Biophysics, having joined UCSF after a postdoctoral fellowship here in Cambridge with Sydney Brenner. She's reported to have said to a journalist that she wants to live to be 150 years old if she's young and engaged in life. And her current research explores how genetic changes can increase the normal lifespan of experimental animals. The journalist in question said that if she is right about a treatment to slow aging, and it comes in time for her, she could be among the first generation of women to be perpetually young since Eve told Adam what to do with his apple.
It's really nice to be back in Cambridge, and I want to thank the organizers for inviting me. And it does feel very strange to be giving this talk in the context of the other talks you've heard this morning and the one to follow, which focus on the potential harm of overpopulation and the activities that people engage in. But I'm going to talk about what I think is really an exciting, if not provocative, aspect of the future, and that is aging, or maybe not aging. So it wasn't long ago that everyone pretty much thought that aging is just something that happened. You wear out like an old car. And my lab and other labs have now shown that that's not true, that there are actually specific genes that control aging, or that have huge influence on the rate of aging. So we work in our lab on a tiny little nematode, a soil nematode, a roundworm, called C. elegans. It's just about the size of a comma in a sentence. It has a short lifespan of just a couple of weeks, but it gets old. And this animal, little animal, has 20,000 genes in its DNA. And we found that changing just one of these genes could double the lifespan of the whole animal and keep it very young, much longer than normal. So it was like a miracle, actually. It was looking at one of these worms was like looking at a person who's 90 and thinking that the person is 45. So they just didn't look their age at all. But it wasn't a miracle, it was science. So because we had changed a gene and we have molecular tools, we could ask, you know, what actually did we do to the animal to create this drastic slowing of the aging process? Well, the gene that we changed affects hormones. And when you inhibit these hormones, then what happens is another gene becomes more active, a gene called DAF16 becomes more active. And DAF16, in turn, controls the activity of about 100 more genes in the DNA that protect the animal and keep it young. So when we change this one gene, I didn't go around and prop up all the tissues of the animal, repair everything, or prevent everything bad from happening. What we did is we just allowed the animal to protect itself. In other words, the animal has within itself a kind of latent ability to age much more slowly than it normally does. And by just changing these hormone genes, we were able to allow the animal to express this latent ability. So you ask, this is a conference on evolution and Darwin, you ask, how might this possibly have come about? Well, animals have evolved ways to protect themselves from stress, from environmental stress, like nutrient deprivation or ultraviolet light and other types of stress. And these very same stress-protective genes can also protect an animal from endogenous stress, the stress of age, actually. And when you activate these pathways, which probably evolve for other reasons, then the animal stays young much longer. So the big question was, is this just a worm thing? This is good for the worm, but what does it extend beyond the worm? And it does, which is really quite amazing. These same genes, if you change them, can extend the lifespan of fruit flies and mice, which are mammals like us. And now we know that they also influence humans. Humans have a DAF16 gene, and so far there have been studies of six different human populations that have linked variants, DNA sequence variants, within the DAF16 gene of human to the ability to live longer. So this has been seen in Hawaiians of Japanese descent, in Italians, in Germans, in Ashkenazi Jews, and in two groups in the United States on the East Coast and the West Coast. So that tells us that we humans are susceptible to the effects of these worm lifespan genes. They're human lifespan genes too. So I think what this means is that someday we really will be able to keep people living longer. I always said, oh, maybe, maybe not. But now I think I'm going to say, maybe so. I don't know how much. I don't know when this will happen, but I think this is going to really be possible. And it's going to be very different from sort of patching people up the way we do now. You know, if a person now has a heart attack, maybe at one time the person would have died, and now we can intervene and save the person, but we don't make the person younger. We just keep them alive. But what I'm talking about are interventions that actually slow down the rate of aging, would make a dog age at a rate that's more like that of a person. Not necessarily that much of a difference, but to get the concept. And as you just heard, just yesterday, a very exciting paper was published in Nature. There are lots of genes now that are known to affect lifespan, not just the ones that we discovered. And there's a drug that called rapamycin that people take now for various reasons already. It's already approved by the FDA. And this drug affects the activity of a gene that's known to affect lifespan in animals. And when you give it to mice, you increase the lifespan of the mice. I'm not saying that you should take this pill. It has other consequences, but it may have other consequences. But it's something that I think is just amazing, actually. So I think that we have to really think about this. This is something that's probably going to happen, maybe in the not-too-distant future, that we'll be able to stay young longer. I'll just mention that the rate of population growth is most affected by how many children you have and how old you are when you have those children. That determines the exponential rate of population growth. But nevertheless, keeping individual people young and alive could have an impact on that, and I think that's something that we have to think about. And it'll have an impact on a lot more aspects of our culture, too, which are also worth thinking about. So thank you very much.